Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Now, I love this gospel story. This is absolutely one of my favorites in the gospels. And there's such a treasure trove of wisdom evident in Jesus' words to this unfortunate, poor, rich man who arrives with a simple and sincere desire to learn from the good teacher. And how taken aback must he have been when Jesus said, "I am not good. There is only one," or "Why do you call me good? There is only one who you may call good." And then Jesus reads off all of these commandments that deal mainly with interacting with one another. Although there is one curious exception that I noted. There is nothing about the command of covetousness in this list. Very interesting. Now this man, very sure of himself, responds that he has certainly kept all these commandments and has always done so. And then Jesus, and we are told as he says this that Jesus loved him, tells the man that he has to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor. And that he will then have treasure in heaven. We are told that the man is shocked by Jesus' words. And for no small reason in that he is a rich man. And he treasures all of his worldly goods. And instead of just laying everything on the ground and following Jesus, he wanders off with his head hung low. Now Jesus then follows this up with one of the most interesting metaphors that you'll find in the Gospels. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And there we have that. And how we can very easily say that our reading from our gospel today reflects so much of what we find in society. That possessions are stumbling blocks. To use a term from a reading a few weeks ago, they're stumbling blocks from entering heaven. Indeed, we see that the harm that can come from powerful corporations, the kind that feel like they have gotten into the core of our media and society, influencing what we eat, how we live, how we drive our cars, how we go about from day to day, what we watch. And one need only look at the political leanings of the poor in certain parts of the country, most especially the Midwest and the South. After having been fed dose after dose of certain news stations consistently and regularly voting for candidates who have the best interests of the wealthy at heart. And it's not that these people are stupid, far from it. It's that they consistently hear this message that upholds their beliefs. And this message is laid beside a message that constantly tells them that white Christians are the new oppressed minority. Which, given their own poverty and their condition in life, seems very easy to believe. And then wrap it up with another one that says things about bootstraps and taxes and how those other people are trying to take your money, all that you have left. And so you get this self-perpetuating cycle of influence in which money and power does, in fact, buy the votes of the people who are being harmed by voting that way. And I wonder how being in a country that is indisputably the richest on earth, we're also the country that is possibly one of the most violent, where we have more deaths by gunshot than anywhere else in the developed world, and where we imprison one quarter of the world's prison population. So it becomes pretty easy for us to put money and property and power in a position of evil that gets in the way of someone's salvation when we look at the results that it has to offer. And when it seems like there's so much unchristlike behavior that can go along with it. And we can also look at the example of those who give themselves up, who give everything up and live very simply and don't have all those distractions of trying to keep up and maintain and upgrade their own wealth and well-being. How I myself imagined at one point or another just making life simpler, giving everything up and going into monasticism, becoming a monk, meditating and chanting every day and working together to make delicious honey or cherished wine that we sell simply to provide the upkeep of our property, devoting our lives to fulfilling Jesus' commands, or at the very least, fulfilling our own lives in worshiping God day in and day out. And even if we're not technically sharing the gospel out among the world, we are at the very least closer to God in our behavior and our lives. It's a nice little fantasy. But to be honest with you, my sisters and brothers, I would have a hard time living like that for very long. And while I know people who choose to live with very few possessions, I don't think I could very easily do it, at least not and remain a very effective pastor. I remember an old adage that I once heard. If you think that money and possessions are bad things, try living without them. Now, I can scarce believe how ridiculously overpriced our housing market is in the Bay Area, in the East Bay even. You know, one would think, oh, I'm out of San Francisco, it's cheaper. Cheaper is not that cheap at all. And my spouse and I have decided we're tired of being beholden to a rent that can go up as much as 10% a year. And we're closing on a house. My neighbors walked in, so haven't told you guys yet about that, have we? This small home in a part of Richmond that doesn't have a historical tie to a poor community. And so we don't feel like that buying a home here is in a neighborhood that we become part of a group of people of money and means that come in, look for cheap real estate deals because it's a traditionally poor neighborhood, but since prices are skyrocketing and they can't afford San Francisco, they might as well go ahead and gentrify this place. No, this is in the East Hills of Richmond. And this little house, it's not a very big house at all, is going for a pretty penny, but it's not out of the realm of our affordability. But we're still griping, because despite the fact that we can afford it, it will still be somewhat higher than our current rent. And while we thought that things would become easier once I had a steadier income, this was a good deal in a good neighborhood, and the market is just going to get even more ridiculous. Oh, I hate saying that. I don't want to shine a depressing light on things. But we're just going to grit our teeth and tighten our belts and settle. And I'm not in a position that I could tell you that I could just give everything up. I love my smartphone. I love my little laptop tablet and my access to high-speed internet and all those things that make my life easier, because take one of those things from me and I just about crack up. Yesterday, my home PC just wouldn't start and I almost melted down. Wednesday morning, I'm out on Shattuck in a high-priced parking zone. And I go out to my car and it wouldn't start. And I didn't know what to do right away. Not having a car. And thankfully, I had my little smartphone with me. And I picked up the phone and made a call. And I have people in my life, and I know people, and AAA is quick. And we managed to tow my car back to the church. And while it's being repaired, I even have a nice bicycle I can go back and forth in. and his spouse with a car himself. And so I just don't think I can give it all up. But looking at the standards of Jesus' time, what constituted rich? A man with many possessions. No matter where we think we fall in the economic spectrum of our society, there are few among us, a few, who would not be considered rich by their standards. And while it might be easy to judge this man for not having faith and doing as Jesus said to do, I actually find it a lot easier to relate to him for being shocked at what Jesus said. Give away all my possessions, or sell them for proceeds and give the proceeds to the poor. And what am I going to do? I don't know if I wouldn't walk away grieving myself. I don't know if I would do the same. But we know not what becomes of the man after that. We don't hear his name. And it might not even matter very much, because the gospel is indeed revealed in the next paragraph. Because Jesus says that while it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, he also says that with God, all things are possible. In no place does Jesus condemn this rich man. In fact, the scripture tells us that he loved him. If the man is perplexed by Jesus' command, it is not one that convicts him in his heart, but one that underscores the way that he's living in his life today. And that while his sincerity is real, that while what he wants to do is learn from the good teacher, and he keeps all of God's commandments, or at least the ones that Jesus listed, his actions still must go further, and he still needs to gain one great thing, whatever it is. And Jesus doesn't actually tell us what it is. All he does is he tells us that in order to gain this great thing, he has to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor. So what is it that he has to gain? Is it generosity in spirit? Freedom from the world? Faith? And yet, even dejected, this rich man has a chance. Even walking away at that moment, he still has a chance. God is a God of all people, rich and poor, powerful and powerless. It is not our wealth that makes us fail in our lives as Christians that love one another, time and time again, but it's how we use it. It is not money that prevents us from loving one another, but it's the inability to share it with one another. Our property does not keep us from the kingdom of God, so long as we steward it and his earthly kingdom, bearing in mind that we share this earth with billions of other people, as well as everybody that's going to come after us. God's kingdom is for everyone, though, my sisters and brothers. In his grace, he has given us all we need for our salvation. The great camel passes through the eye of the needle because God wishes and wills it. And we may enter God's kingdom with confidence because Jesus Christ, in his suffering, death, and resurrection, has already taken away those things that would leave us bound to the world. In the wondrous event on the cross, through Jesus Christ, God has bestowed us the faith that we need to hold the key to his kingdom. And so be generous, my sisters and brothers. Unburden yourself from time to time of your possessions. Because if you're like me, you've got drawers and drawers full of clothes that you don't even wear, and storage full of things that you don't use and haven't used for years. I think I'm going to use that look at those video cassettes that I've got, or the VCR that's still sitting there in the closet. Well, you can't get rid of that. It's worth money. And donate them to a good charity. Because as Christians, that's what feels right and the proper thing to do. Don't do this to earn salvation. You have salvation. But know that even if you cannot be parted from some of these things, if there's just too much sentimental attachment to them, you yet retain full reserved seating in the banquet that Jesus Christ has laid out for us in the feast to come. And share that good news with the world, because it's good news worth sharing. Amen.
Amen.